Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church, led by Pastor Lane Harrison. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com. For more information and resources from Pastor Lane, please visit mlaneharrison.com.
I'm pretty excited about the message this morning. This passage of Scripture is such an encouraging one. It's very simple, but it's profound. And I think for me, that's the way that the gospel so often impacts us. We learn so much about who God is and what He's done for us. And that kind of builds a foundation, a bed upon which these truths are laid. But today, the passage we look at in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 29, it's one of those true gospel passages that makes its grand appeal to us, not just to know about God, but to know Him and to put our faith in Him. Today, I want us to look at the question of desperation. The question of desperation. Go with me to verse 29 of Matthew 20, and let me read there before I continue with the message. Verse 29 begins, "And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed Him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David.' The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, 'Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David.' And stopping, Jesus called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to Him, 'Lord, let our eyes be opened.' And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed Him." May God bless the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the obeying of His Word today. As we looked at for the last 3 weeks now, Jesus and His disciples are on a journey to Jerusalem, and they're headed there to celebrate the Passover. And by the time they get to Jericho, they are very near, only about 15 miles now outside the town. And the location that Matthew mentions here heightens the tension of the story along the journey, because the closer they get, the heavier the activity and the heavier the chaos of the crowd grows. And Matthew notes something to denote this for us. He says that a great crowd followed Jesus. He's been talking about the crowds, multiple, a crowd here and a crowd there and one over there, and all kind of moving in the same direction. But they've become so close now that it's gone from multiple crowds to just one large crowd to be considered. The closer they got to the destination, the more congested their traffic became, the more people just began to crowd in, and the higher the heart rate began to rise. Just anticipating the festival, you could feel the electricity in the air as people came. But with Jesus, He was focused on the Father's mission. He was not distracted by the chaos, nor was He appealed to only by the crowd. But at that time, He was always looking and listening for people. You know, crowds bring noise, and noise creates distraction. And with the popularity of Jesus, the more that people recognized Him, the more the crowd swelled everywhere He went. The more word got out about where He was and what He was doing, the more the congestion packed in, the more the noise and the chaos rose all around Him. And people wanted to be close to Jesus everywhere He went. They didn't always want to be close to Him for the right reasons, but they wanted to be close to Him nonetheless. But in the chaos of this passage today, some of the people who needed to be close to Jesus most couldn't get close to Him because of the crowds. And that's why Matthew records that there were two blind men sitting along the side of the road. This was not an uncommon event. Many people took this road into Jerusalem. And this is where those who only could make their living by begging would stay so that more people would be able to come by. They heard the commotion and they sensed the crowd swelling and the chaos rising. And they realized finally by overhearing the talking who it was that was coming their way. And they began to cry out. But Matthew tells us that in their crying out, the crowds rebuked them. Be silent. He doesn't want anything to do with you. Who are you that he should waste time on you? Be quiet. Leave him alone. But Matthew tells us that their desperation only intensified their cries. It's interesting how desperation has a way of ignoring societal norms, does it not? These men were not able to simply go find Jesus anytime they chose. But here, he was passing by them. This was their chance to request the one thing that they could not find in this world. And so rebukes from the crowd were not going to silence the cries of their blind desperation. Jesus heard their cries for mercy. Above the roar of the crowd, the excitement of the onlookers, and even the applause of those who were impressed with what he had done, Jesus heard the cry of these men by the side of the road. Surely these men didn't even know exactly which direction to face because which part of the crowd he was in, they weren't sure. They were just calling out, trying to get his attention. And Jesus heard their cry. Matthew actually tells us that they intensified their cries so that he couldn't miss their cries. And when he heard, he stopped. He turned and called out to them and he asked this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want me to do for you? That's a powerful question, friends. What do you want me to do for you? This question is an encouraging question no matter who it comes from. But here, the person asking this question is not like any others. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator of all things. He is the author of life. He is the one of whom Psalm says, before the foundation of the world was set in place, before the mountains were brought forth or the earth or the world were formed, from everlasting to everlasting, he was and he is and he forevermore shall be. The one who asked the question is the eternal God. He is the one who stopped and addressed these two men that the crowd had tried to silence. Jesus heard their cry of faith and he had compassion on them. Don't you find it interesting in the Gospels how Jesus is a magnet for people who are in desperate need? And when the world is pushing them away, Jesus is drawing near to them. In the Gospels, Jesus is a balm for those who are wounded and hurting. He is the salve, the ointment of healing for those who are in desperate need. And even before Jesus became a man, the Old Testament foretold that this is what he would be. And so we see here Jesus looked past the sea of people who were enamored with him, but who would not call out for him. And he went straight to the men who couldn't get to him, but in desperation cried out for him. Friends, I want to pause here for a moment and ask you this question. Do you see this picture of Jesus Christ that Matthew paints for us here? Jesus is the one who is worthy of your faith. He shows God's compassion to all who are desperate for him and God's mercy to all who call on him. Jesus' response reveals for us God's heart of compassion that compels all to call out to him. Because we know Jesus loves you. His love is why he was walking through the crowd into Jerusalem. He cares about people who are hurting. He cares about the people who were lost in the crowd that the crowd had sidelined as unimportant and continually tried to silence. Not only does Jesus love you, friends, Jesus hears you. He's listening for you. He's focused on his Father's mission. He hears your cry for help. He wants to meet your need. Not only that, but Jesus comes to invite you. He invites your faith so that he can show God's mercy and compassion in the midst of your desperation. What a beautiful picture Matthew paints for us. One who is worthy of our faith, Jesus Christ, the Lord. But I also want you to notice how these men responded to Jesus' question. These were men who sat in the world's oblivion, but found themselves at the center of God's attention. Isn't that amazing? The world could have cared less. God could not have cared more. These men were desperate and they were motivated by their request. For the urgency of their request is what compelled by their desperation. And I would say the same is true of us. The urgency with which we seek the Lord is always one that is fueled by our desperation. If we don't feel it, we won't act on it. But when we know it, we are ready to confess it and refuse to let others stand in the way of it. Friends, it is true that the weight of our desperation may dampen our strength to do anything about our own situation, but it sharpens our senses to sources that can provide the help that we need. So when these two men heard the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" it must have shocked them. It likely even put them in a paralysis, in a momentary dismay. What in the world? Everyone else has told us to shut up. He came to us and asked us to speak up. No one had ever responded to their cries before, except to rebuke them to again be silent. But now the Lord of all is asking, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you feel this moment? Maybe you felt this moment in your own life, when the weight and the cry of your desperation gets a response. In that instant, hopelessness eases. In your situation, helplessness vanishes. And in one question, it accomplishes all of these things. This is the moment that these men had waited for their whole life. And this is the moment these men could possibly stop sitting by the side of the road. Can you imagine this? This is the moment they would no longer be confined to the darkness in which they had lived. No longer the moment when they would just have to hope that there would be someone else who might be available to lead them. But hope that they could start walking with everyone else all the way to Jerusalem to worship. I present to you today that this is not only the moment for these two men, but this is truly the moment for all who are broken, for all who find themselves desperate in a need of healing, for those who are wounded, for those who are hurting, for those who are confused, for those who are in need of direction. This is the moment for which we wait our whole life. And in that instant, that feeling of now someone has heard me. Now someone has come to me. Now someone has asked and offered their help for me. And friends, this someone is not just anyone, but it is the one who can change everything. And you know what he wants to know? What do you want me to do for you? It's interesting, isn't it, how many people perceive God that if he by chance does show up, he's not going to be asking questions. He's going to be rocking down commands. So many times people have an image of God that is nothing more than an impersonal, lifeless, proverbial hammer of wrongdoing. or failure in our right doing. But this is not the God we see here. The God we see here swims against the current of the crowd, and instead of silencing, invites them to speak up by asking, "What do you want me to do for you?" And in response to Jesus' question, the blind men reply, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." I find it interesting. They didn't ask for everything the world could offer. This wasn't rub the bottle and let a genie come out and satisfy your greatest desires kind of moment. There was only one thing their whole life was focused on. They didn't ask for riches. They didn't ask for fame. They didn't ask for comfort. They didn't ask for pleasure. They didn't ask for anything else that the world promises. Why? Because the situation of their life, the weight of their burden, had put one issue on the docket. There was one request burning in their heart. "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And it was this simple ask that they made of Jesus to meet their great need. What would Jesus do in the moment? How do you think Jesus would respond? Did he have one more miracle left in him? Did he care enough to bring that miracle to their great need? Or did he, as the sovereign one who's omniscient, already know of another need that was greater, and he would withhold that one last miracle for that need? I would argue the questions could be asked endlessly. But friends, we don't have to wonder. Matthew records. Matthew says Jesus took pity on them. And that word for pity is our word for compassion. It is pity expressed. It is feeling the pain, empathizing with another. And it tells us he touched their eyes, and immediately their sight was recovered. Friends, I don't want you to just see the picture of this moment that Matthew paints for us, but more importantly, I want you to see the person of Jesus Christ that Matthew introduces to us. He is the one who is worthy of your faith today. Jesus is the one who comes to us to show us God's compassion in our deepest and every need to all who are desperate for him. And Jesus is the one who has God's mercy on all who call on him. His response to these two men reveals God's character to all of us. God is a God of compassion, and he compels all of us and invites us to call out to him. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. That's why Jesus was walking through the crowd into Jerusalem to willingly lay down his life, that he might be raised up on a cross, that he might die our death in our place. He loves you, and he cares about people who are hurting. He cares about the people that the world has sidelined and said they're unimportant. They don't hold any real value for us. They're more of a nuisance. We just need to try and silence them. I tell you, Jesus hears you. He hears you, friends. He's listening, and he hears your cry for help, and he wants to meet your need. And so he comes to invite you. To invite you to believe in him and who he is and what he can do for you, and to receive the mercy and the grace and the compassion in the midst of your desperation. Friends, wherever you are today, Jesus hears you. And if you feel your need for Jesus today more than ever before, if you are overwhelmed by some weight of burden that's crushing your spirit, you need to know that this Jesus that Matthew paints a picture of and introduces the person of, he is here today waiting to show compassion and mercy on you today. And so I ask you to be compelled. Do not be silenced by any rebuke of the crowd, or shall I even say sin's condemnation within that says, "Not today, maybe another time." Don't let the shame of this world The shame that the world says your brokenness or your desperation is not worth it. God says it is. And that's why he's here today. And don't let anyone or anything else cause you to shrink back in silent defeat. Call out to him today. Jesus is passing by. He is real. He is here. You feel your want and your need for him. Your heart, your mind, and your soul cry out for help. He wants to ask you the question, what do you want me to do for you today? You see, Jesus didn't come into the world to find the righteous. He came to find the sinners and to call them to repentance. I'm not speaking to the many who have it all together today. I'm speaking to the one or the two or maybe just a few who came today hoping to meet God. Maybe you've been out of church for a long time because of some situation or circumstance or some relationship or something that occurred to you, and you came today because you felt as if you could walk in and walk out and have a moment with God but not have to deal with others. I'm telling you, God wants that moment with you this morning. He knows you. He sees you. And guess why he came today? Because Jesus is still focused on the mission that the Father sent him for. He came for you. He doesn't want you to bury your hope in silence. You don't have to hold it all together any longer. Jesus has come to do for you what you need from him. I invite you today to call out to him, and even louder until you know he has heard you. He is here. And in compassion, he's asking this same question to your desperation, that he might show his compassion and his mercy and his power to you. Jesus walks among the crowd today, but friends, he hears, he stops, and he responds to those who cry out in desperation for him. What do you want him to do for you today? One last presentation of Jesus I want you to see here. The men's response is immediate, as it should be. They follow in faith. It tells us, Matthew says, that immediately upon seeing, they got up and followed Jesus. And the word that Matthew used there for follow was not just so they could blend in with the crowd, but he tells us that they entered in to become one of his disciples. Physical healing was the lesser of everything that transpired in their life on that day. These men got up to believe in the one who could give them not just life in this world, but eternal life beyond this world. And that's the way Jesus is worthy to be responded to in faith, to follow him. How else do you respond to this kind of a moment? How could one possibly look on and see what Jesus did and not believe? You see, I assure you of this. These two men were not the only people who wanted something from Jesus that day. But they were the two who were desperate enough to make sure that they got his attention. Many people follow along in the crowd, and some for a long way and a long time, but they never ask for anything. Maybe some of you here today feel desperate, but your desperation has covered your approach to God with numbness. Maybe you think God has more important matters than to stop for you. Maybe you've asked before and you didn't get the answer that you felt like you should have gotten, or you didn't hear the answer that you wanted from God. Maybe you're unsure if God can really make any difference in your life today. Or maybe you are unsure if Jesus is worthy of your faith to follow him. Friends, I propose to you, Matthew answers all four of these with the picture he paints, with the person he introduces to us, and with the power he demonstrates in Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus is worthy of your faith. He shows the compassion of God to all who are desperate for him. And he shows God's mercy to all who call upon him. And do you know why he does this? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. The very reason he was walking to Jerusalem and he was focused on the Father's mission. He cares about people who are hurting. He cares about the people who've been sidelined by the crowd and silenced by the same. Jesus hears your prayer. He is listening to you today for your cry for help. I propose to you, Jesus knew those men were by the side of the road before they ever opened their mouth. But if you will not believe, if you will not call out to Jesus, the Gospel of Mark tells us you will shackle him. You will shackle his power from being able to work in your life. You need not be one of the silencers or the silenced in the crowd. You only need to feel your burden today and call out to Jesus. He comes to you today to invite you to believe in him so he can show the mercy and the compassion of God in your desperation. Friends, Jesus is still focused on the Father's mission of saving and redeeming people. He may not answer your request in the way you exactly perceived, but I assure you of this, his answer will be far greater than anything you dared imagine. My question is, what is your answer to Jesus today? The Jesus who is the Lord who has come to do for you today what you have not done for yourself, what you will not do for yourself, what you cannot do for yourself. What will your answer to Jesus be today? You don't have to see where Jesus will come from. You don't have to know exactly how he could work or will work in your life. You don't have to ask the perfect question. All you have to do is cry out in desperation. He stands ready to show his compassion and mercy on you today. What will your answer to Jesus be today? He is worthy of your faith. He wants to show God's compassion to all who are desperate for him and his mercy to all who call upon him.